Give the Lord a cheer.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Glory, Lord.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He is our refuge and our strength. Isn't that right, Terry? I can't talk, said something.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus, lover of my soul, number 63.
Yeah, you don't want me to preach tonight, do you?
Worthy, O Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just praise you. And we give you glory. We give you honor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I hope the fact that we don't have a big crowd here tonight means there's a lot of people in church somewhere.
Amen.
Amen. And that's all right. It's all right we don't have a big crowd. You know why? Because God always brings those He wants.
Amen.
Whether it's one, or 101, or 1,001, God always brings the ones He wants and gives them the opportunity to receive the gifts that God has for them that night. Amen? God is a giver. God is a giver, and He is the originator of giving. He loved us so much that He gave His own Son to show us how to love. To show us how to love. Amen? When the young man came to Jesus and asked Him, Lord, what must I do to be saved? What did Jesus say? He said, what's the law say? How readest thou? The young man said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, mind, body. Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? And Jesus, and the man turned to justify himself, said, well, who's my neighbor? You all have heard this story. I bet you there's not a person in here who haven't heard this story at one time or another. Who's my neighbor? And Jesus said, well, there was this man, and he was along the road to Jericho, and he got all beat up, whooped up on, left on the side of the road. He was robbed. He was beaten. He looked pitiful. And here comes a big priest. He walks by and looks at that guy and just moves his head aside, walked away. Pretty soon, here comes this Pharisee. You know what a Pharisee is, don't you, folks? That's one of them religious, I'm so righteous, I'm so good type people. I'm going to let you know right now. You might as well know if you want to come again another night, you know that I'm a sinner. Now, they tell you in preacher school you're not supposed to tell people that. You know that? They tell you. Did you know that, Gail? They tell you in preacher school, don't tell people you're a sinner. Then they won't believe in you. Wow! What a thought! You mean if they don't believe in me, they might believe in Jesus? Hallelujah! I don't want anybody to believe in me. I want you to believe in the one who saves me. The one that I need, just like you need. I'll get back to the other guy in a minute. I want to say something. You remember that story about when Jesus was in with the tax collector's house eating dinner? Remember that? And the Pharisees got all bent out of shape. Your master's eating with publicans and sinners. He ate with me the other day, praise God. He eats with me every day. And what Jesus say when He discerned what they were doing and everything, He found on their case, He said, wait a minute. I haven't called the righteous to repentance, but the unrighteous. Now, you know them Pharisees and their self-righteousness sat back and said, yeah, we're so good, he don't need to call us. My, we gave money to an alms in the basket the other day, and you know, we helped that little person down the street. And of course, we had a trumpet fanfare when we did it. We had the press out and everybody else. We gave money to go down here to Mexico and build a church, build a house, and we had television cameras and everything just so they'd know who did it. Called that the gospel. The gospel is not, I built a church. The gospel is not, I built a house. The gospel is, Jesus Christ died for my sorry self because I could not match up to God's standards. I wish I'd have been there. Actually, I don't. I used to pray, Lord, I wish I'd have been there when you were there. Oh, Lord, I wish I'd have been there to walk with you on the Sea of Galilee and to cross on that boat. You know, anybody ever thought that? Anybody ever kind of thought what it had been like to be there? Yeah. And I just, oh, Lord, if I could have just been there. Do you know what it did to me when he said, no, you wouldn't? And I said, well, why not? He said, you'd have been one of them crucifying me. You'd have been right out there with the rest of the crowd saying, crucify him. Oh, Lord, you don't mean it. Yes, I do. I only picked 11 to believe on me. Huh? When he was at that cross, there was only 11. He didn't open the door for the rest until after he was resurrected. Amen. He didn't open the door for the rest to believe until after he was resurrected. I bet you never heard that before, did you? Well, you have. But you know, if I can fantasize sometimes. I know nobody else in here ever did that, but I can fantasize sometimes. But I can sit down and think, you know, Lord, if I'd been there and those old Pharisees that spoke up and said, he's eating with publicans and sinners, I'd say, look, guys, he ain't never ate with anybody else. When he sat in your house and ate, he ate with a sinner. Because Jesus is the only one without sin. He was the only one that was perfect. I can say I'm without sin, not because I keep the law or because I do anything right. It's because His blood covers me. Amen. His blood covers me. His blood takes away the sin. Amen. Amen? And that's why I'm righteous. You know, Adam and Eve, when they ate the apple, first thing they did is went out and took some fig leaves and covered themselves. Amen? Do you know that's what religion is? I know a bunch of people running around as Christians wearing fig leaves. What? No, that's cool. You can make that thing. You can put that little rope around it, tie it around your waist, you know. Undressed. God looks at you and says, stupid, put some clothes on. He went up to Adam and he taught Adam sacrifice. He killed the lamb, sacrificed it to show him what he was going to do for him. Took the skin of that lamb and gave it to Adam and Eve for clothes. See? Religion is what the Pharisees had, and that's the fig leaf. See? Jesus is what the disciples had. That's the real clothes. If you're not dressed in Jesus, you're not dressed. I don't care if you got a big suit, good suit, lousy suit, ugly suit, pretty suit, no suit. If you're dressed in Jesus Christ, you are clothed. And if you're not, you're not clothed. You're naked. You think you'd be embarrassed running around here in your birthday suit? I know I would. Amen. I know Ricky Bowen would. I'd laugh to death. John wouldn't worry about it. Ain't nobody going to see him anyway. If you love the Lord, say praise God. John go running around out there in the parking lot naked as Jaybird. Somebody say, somebody just go back. He's so skinny the wind can't catch him. I love picking on John. That's why I take him around. The only reason I take him around is I can pick on him and get away with it. Pick on some of you guys, I might get in trouble. Ricky Ball will come when I'm praying asleep, sit on me. Amen? Don't say amen. Listen. I might say amen one day, and you shouldn't want to say amen. And I remember preaching at church one time, and I said, turn your Bibles to Hezekiah 14:12. And I started off rattling, quoting. There's this guy down here. He's just looking. He looked up at me. Look. Look. I was dunning on another subject, and he comes up and says, where's Hezekiah? I said, he's dead. Got to pay attention. Jesus never ate with anyone but a Pharisee. I mean, but a sinner. Because he is the only one that is real. The only one without sin. The only one that can please the Father. I'm naked without him. Getting back to the Pharisee that walked by the poor man that was beat up and stumbled down there and robbed. He got over on the other side of the road and walked by. Now, I know nobody here has ever done that, have they? Nobody here has ever seen a drug addict in the gutter and said, ooh, would you look at that? I don't want nothing to do with him. Nobody here has ever done that, have they? Nobody here has ever seen a prostitute and said, would you look at her? Man, I don't want nothing to do with her. Hope she doesn't come to my church. Nobody here has ever done that. Have they? And just, you know, take away the drug addict, take away the prostitute, put anything else on it. I know nobody here is guilty of that because we're all good people, right? What's the Bible say? There's none good save Jesus. Hey, that preacher Richard, he's pretty good. No, I'm not. Not pretty either. You know how I know that? Went to a restaurant one day and the waitress asked me how I was doing. I said, oh, pretty good. She said, you're not pretty. I said, I ain't going there. That old poor old guy's laying there for dead. He's laying there for dead. And along comes a Samaritan. You know, that's like a gay rights Vermonter. Is that right, Vermonter? The Samaritan comes by, sees him laying down there, binds up his wounds, takes care of him, takes him to the inn, pays the innkeeper, and tells the innkeeper, if there's any more cost when I return, I'll pay it. I'll pay it. And then Jesus said to that young Pharisee, he said, now tell me, who was a neighbor to that man? He said, the Samaritan. He said, that's right. Now you go do the same. Now I want to tell you a story. There was this young man. He wasn't wrapped too tight. He was miserable. He was a drunkard. He did drugs. He did just about everything he could ever figure out to do wrong. And he was just totally miserable. He'd gotten beat up by a robber, a thief, and left on the side of the road for dead. And the Samaritan, that's a hated person. You know, the Samaritans were hated by the Jews. They were hated more than black people in Georgia or Vermont. They were hated. Do you know the name of Jesus? Everybody say Jesus. You go out there in the world, say that, nobody wants to hear it because he's hated. He was talking about himself. He's the Samaritan that picked me up and bound up my wounds and took me to a preacher. Said, take care of him. Here's the payment for him. And when I come back, if he's messed up, if he's fouled up, if he's committed any sin, if he has done anything that I owe more, I'll pay that too. So I love him. I love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, strength, mind, body. And I love my neighbor, Jesus. See, when Jesus... I hope y'all understand what I'm saying. This is not commonly taught out here. It's commonly taught that your neighbor is the guy that lives next door to you or a member of the church. It's not your neighbor. Your neighbor is the one who died for you and paid the price for your sins. The thief that came and tore the man up, that's Satan. What did Jesus say? The thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have that more abundantly. He was talking about the job Satan does. Satan tears people up. But it's Jesus that binds them up and pays the price for it. And if there be any other cost when he returns, he pays that too. Because his payment is sufficient. I had a vision one time. God gave me a vision. I needed it. I was hurting. I was hurting. I had the churches coming against me and religious people all coming against me and trying to destroy what God was doing with me out of jealousy and just hatefulness. And I was hurting. And because I was hurting, I gave up. I gave up. I said, Lord, I give up. I love you, but I just can't do this anymore. And I quit. I quit the ministry. And I went off and became a bounty hunter and a repo man and did everything bounty hunters and repo men do. I was not a nice guy. And when the Lord pulled my string and said, it's time for you to go back to work, I couldn't do it. I said, Lord, I can't do it. I can't. I'm too bad. I'm too horrible. I've done too many things. I've said too many things. I've thought too many things. I just can't do it. You paid the price over here for my sins, but now look at what I've added to it. He says, I got enough for that. Let me show you. And he showed me heaven, and he showed me the throne, and he showed me the horns of the altar, over the altar, and he showed me the blood upon the horns of the altar and upon the mercy seat. And you know the most amazing thing? It was alive. The blood was just as much alive as it was when he shed it and poured it upon the mercy seat. And he said, see, it's still there. It's still doing its work. It's still for you. Now stop crying. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. And come on. Amen. Now we're going to be doing some neat things this week. You're going to hear some neat things. You're going to hear about the Joshua Age. You're going to find out what the Joshua Age is all about. We've come out of the Ezekiel Age. We're heading into the Joshua Age. And some people say, what's this guy talking about? Well, you'll know. You'll find out. You're going to find out what it means to walk across the River Jordan. You're going to find out how you can do things you never dreamed you could do. Things you never dreamed. How many have ever seen a child in pain and wished you could do something about it? You'll learn how to do it. How many have had a loved one laying in a hospital dying and you wished you could do something about it? I have. Where's Kim at? Stand up, Kim. Kim's laying in a hospital in Burlington, Vermont. Brain damage. Always told her she was brain damaged, you know, but she hit her head and she was in a coma. I was in La La Land, you know, duh. After 2 or 3 days in the hospital, the doctor came to her mother and myself and said, started explaining to us that there was nothing he could do and she was going to die. And reality hit me. It never occurred to me that she could die. All of a sudden, I'm sitting there watching this little girl in the bed, and the doctor says she's going to die. We don't expect her to live till morning. Do you know how that felt? If you're a parent, you know how that felt. And I asked the doctor to leave. You can sit down, Kim. I asked the doctor to leave, and I began to cry. I began to cry out to the Lord and said, Lord, forgive me for my stupidity. Forgive me. And God forgave me. And my wife and I held hands and we went over to that bed. And I laid my hands on her and I prayed. And I didn't pray like half these preachers out here pray. I'm going to tell you something. You might be offended some by what you hear in this tent. If I offend you, I apologize. But I'll tell you this. What I'll tell you is truth. I didn't pray like some of these preachers out here pray. Oh, Father, we come before Thee in humbleness of heart, and we would, O Lord, that Thou would touch our sister or our daughter, and, O Lord, if it be possible, could You raise her up, and, O Lord, nevertheless, not our will, but Thy will be done. I'm going to tell you right now, a preacher that prays that way does not know God. Boy, feel Thy Spirit on that one. I'm going to say that again. When a preacher prays that way, he does not know God. He may know of God. He may have read a book somewhere or been taught somewhere, but he doesn't know God. Now, I'll get back to this. Let me lay some groundwork, because I know what I made a statement here that can be very radical. And some people could go out of here and scratch their heads and say, what in the world is he talking about? How could he say that? How many remember when the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray? You remember that? Yep. And he said, I'll tell you how to pray. He said, when you pray, pray you thus, our Father which art in heaven. Amen? Amen. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our day, forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us this day our daily bread. Now, let me tell you something, folks. He didn't say to just pray that like that. He was telling us the formula or the way to pray. You start off worshiping our Father. You first of all got to know who God is. God is our Father who is in heaven. Yes, I have an earthly father on earth, but God is my Father in heaven. Because when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was reborn. He became my Father. That's why it says in John chapter 1, as many as believed on Him gave He them power to become the sons of God. God's power made me His son. You see? So first of all, my Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. His name is holy. His name is wonderful. I'm to spend time praising Him and worshiping Him. Thy kingdom come. I am to desire His kingdom here and here. Here and here. Not just up there, but right here in my life. I'm to walk in it, breathe in it, live in it, love in it, worship in it. Amen? And now look at the next part. Look at the next part. Thy will be done on earth. Here's the key. As it is in heaven. You want to know what God's will is for you on earth? Find out what His will is for you in heaven. Huh? Is it God's will for you to be sick in heaven, Charlie? No. Is it His will for you to be demon-possessed or oppressed in heaven? No. No. Is it His will for you to be starving and hungry and sickly and all that stuff in heaven? No. Then praise God, it's not His will here either.
Amen.
I get sick and tired of these people that run around and say, well, that person's sick because God's punishing them. No. God's not punishing them. Man, when they get punished from God, they're going to know it. It's called H-E-L-L fire. Amen? And it doesn't stop. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on for eternity. That's God's punishment. God doesn't punish people here. He's got a place set aside to punish them. I'm going to tell you who causes sickness is Satan.
Amen.
Satan does. You know why the preacher says, if it be thy will? Because the preacher ain't got faith. And he doesn't know what God's will is. Sometimes I feel like going up here and slapping some of these people. So, oh, preacher, you shouldn't talk like that. Somebody's got to. This is a revival. You know what a revival is about? It's to revive someone. You know, remember Lazarus? The friend of Jesus? He stunk. He was in the tomb. I was driving down the road one day, and I'm passing by this church, and I saw it, and it was a tomb. I almost stopped and said, Lazarus, come forth. Wonder what would have happened. I was in a church one time, and I watched the preacher pray and speak and teach. And as he was doing it, and this was in Cabot, Vermont, as he was preaching and talking, I saw the people turn to tombstones. I saw them turning to tombstones. And I asked God, I said, Lord, what does this mean? He says, He's killing them. They're starving to death. And they're dying. And you know, I went and told that preacher that. Imagine that went over like ice cream and on a frying pan. I went and told the preacher. I didn't go and tell him. Ken, Carrie was there. He come and said, what did you think of my service? You don't want to ask me a question like that. What do you think of my service? I said, I left a dog in Maryland that could preach better than you. Well, I was trying to be nice. I didn't want to offend him too bad. And he said, what do you mean? And I proceeded to tell him what I meant and told him what God showed me. And the man came, asked me to come to his house and talk to him, went to his house and I talked to him. This was the pastor of the church. Went to his house, talked to him. His wife started running her mouth. I said, ma'am, you don't got nothing to say about this. What do you mean? I said, you're not a Christian. You're into witchcraft. You're a priestess of Wicca. How would you know that? I said, I have the Spirit of the Lord. And I talked to the man, and I left and came back. And then he came over to the house where we were staying, and he started it again. And when I'd take the Bible and show it to him, and when he was done, he took the Bible and threw it on the ground and said, I don't give it a blankety blank blank what that blankety blank Bible says. And I said, all right. You're never going to preach again, except for funerals. And 2 days later, the first hearse showed up. And we sat in that house and watched hearse after hearse after hearse draw up in front of that church till the people got smart and got rid of him. God didn't do that to those people. That preacher did that to those people. You understand what I'm saying, Ricky Bowman? The preacher did it. The most valuable thing anybody can do is know the Word of God. And know the Word of God because you have read it and you have prayed and you have searched the truth. Then, if that church had read the Word of God for themselves, they would have known what that preacher was doing. But because they were too lazy to know God, the preacher was able to mess with them. See, I don't want you to take my word for anything I say in here. I don't want you to take my word for anything. I want you to learn God's word, to study God's word. I'm going to show you some things that might provoke you to study God's word. You see? Now we're going to get back to Kim again. Kim laying in that bed. And I prayed for her. We played hands and prayed. And I said, I didn't pray like I said the preachers pray. I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of death. Kim, be healed in Jesus' name. And she sat right up in bed just as the doctor came in. The doctor came in with a bunch of his students, sat right up in bed, and she says, I'm hungry. I got to go to the bathroom. Grabbed her IV bottle and went off to the bathroom. And the doctor had just walked in with a bunch of students to see the poor little dying girl. And he's standing there as she went by. What do you used to call you, Kim? His miracle patient. He recognized the miracle of the Lord. And I want to tell you something, folks. You have that authority in Jesus Christ. You are no better than me, and I am no better than you. Jesus is better than all of us. He is better than all of us. And if I can pray, and the Lord will raise her up out of a coma, you can pray, and you can have the Lord raise your child or your loved one out of a coma also. If you what? Believe. Believe what? Jesus. You believe Jesus. We're going to be learning about these things. I want to leave here knowing that there are Christians that Satan is afraid of.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. How many times have you ever heard somebody say, boy, I pray my name is written in heaven. Oh, the angels know me in heaven. Wouldn't that be neat if the angels knew you by name in heaven? That'd be neat, wouldn't it? Do you know what's more exciting to me? Satan knows me by name. Satan and his demons know me by name. Now, I can just see somebody in here thinking, what do you mean by that? That's not good. Well, I remember in my Bible where this sons of Sebai went to cast a demon out of some people. And they said to the man, "We adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preacheth." Anybody remember that? And the demon in the man spoke and said, "Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but we don't know who you are," and proceeded to kick his backside up and down the road, all seven of them, until they're running off down the road with no clothes on. That was a serious whooping. Do you know there are Christians out here, Jesus knows who you are. The angels know who you are, but Satan doesn't have a clue who you are. Neither does the devils. They know who I am because they don't like it when I come around. I don't take any grub from them. I have all authority in Jesus' name. Jesus said, "I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy." I like hearing them little demons crunch under my feet.
Amen.
And I crunch them any chance I get. Not just for me, but for my neighbors, and my friends, and my family. Show you how it works. Everybody's had members of a family that got into trouble or they were going the wrong way and they just weren't doing something right. Everybody's had that. Everybody's probably done it themselves. Amen. I know I did. I picked on Kim. I might as well pick on Carrie. I don't know when they'll be here again since they have to come down from Vermont up there. Carrie was going the wrong way. She was heading down the wrong path. And she was, you know, she was a teenage girl. She knew everything. Now, Carrie was the stubborn one. I'm not saying Kim wasn't stubborn. It's just that Kim was quiet about her stubbornness. I'm telling on you, Carrie. Carrie would sit down and she'd decide she wanted to go to the movies. All right? Movie would be at 7:30. She'd start arguing at 5 o'clock. And at 11 o'clock at night, she's still wanting to go to that movie that finished 10 o'clock at night. She'd still be arguing to go to the movies. "Let's carry, the movies are over." That's stubborn. That is stubborn. Am I telling the truth, Carrie?
Yes, sir.
And I'd tell Carrie things, and she just would not believe it. And one night she tracked me. She was a smart girl. She liked most women. You know, women remember better than men. Did you know that? Did you know women remember things better than us guys do? My mother can remember things about me that happened 52 years ago and describe them as if they happened 5 minutes ago. Amen. That's because God made women different than us. Hallelujah. Somebody's got to remember for us, right? If we could just control what they would remember, that would be the good thing. See, I get these guys amening. That's all right. Later on, I'll get the women doing it too. So Carrie reminded me, she wanted to go to this friend's house, and I didn't want her to go. I just felt real bad about it. Just knew she shouldn't go. I just knew it. She wanted to go to this friend's house. And I said, no, I don't think so. And she reminded me that a few days ago I said she could. And I got a bit of Herodism. Anybody know what Herodism is? That's when you open your tater trap and say something you shouldn't. And then your pride won't let you take it back. You remember when Herod said to his stepdaughter, "You can have anything up to half the kingdom"? And when she said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist," his pride wouldn't let him say no. I had Herodism. My pride wouldn't let me say no. So she went. Sounds great. God's good to her and good to me too. And I just prayed and prayed and prayed and found out later Carrie almost got killed that night. She almost got killed and raped and killed because she tried to protect her friend. The friend ran off and left her. Wasn't even going to tell anybody where she was. They had to catch this girl and nail her down. And the cops figured because it took them so long to get her to tell where Carrie was, they figured she was already dead. They were waiting for the dogs to go in and find the body. But Carrie remembered. She remembered something. Amen? And she called out to Jesus. And even though Carrie was in rebellion, and even though she was doing wrong, she called out to Jesus, and Jesus answered her like right now. Amen. And the next thing to know, these wide-eyed cops standing out here, and here's Carrie leading this guy out of the woods. That's the power of God. Amen. Satan tried to kill her. But God wouldn't let it happen because she remembered Jesus. That's how simple it is. Well, they didn't get rid of the rebellion.